I'd like you to find a moment within which is a different kind of stillness, not just a quietness, but a stillness in which time itself does not move. For the moment you leave that stillness, that timelessness, the world mind automatically takes you into the flow of time. And without realizing it, you walk back into a human selfhood. And that human selfhood cannot stay awake. It falls asleep in atoms. It goes back into the atomic sleep. Find that precious place where time is not moving within you, in a nowness that is as vast as the infinity of God. Where you do not identify as a point of consciousness, a form, a changing something, but rather as the allness of the One. And when you touch that allness of the One, you will have lived 1,000 days in that second. Find this in the 12th chapter of Revelation, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out unto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Since the moment we walked into this room, we have been casting out the serpent by trying to recognize the nature of the automatic, mechanical world mind which births the forms of this world and is the false creator of man. And from whom it is necessary that we be reborn. And here the serpent in the Garden of Eden, at the end of the New Testament, is recognized and identified as the world mind, Satan, or the devil. Eve all this time had been listening to the devil, thinking she was listening to the ambassador of God. And that is the commentary the Bible is making about the world today. Mankind is listening not to God. Oh, that's so evident. It's hard to go anywhere without realizing that. Mankind is not listening to God. Mankind is listening to the will of the world mind. Mankind is trying to do something of itself. And the Supreme Teacher says, I of mine own self can do no thing. It is the Father within who doeth the works. That's still part of the price you pay. If you wish to walk in the invisible kingdom of God, outwardly expressing the fruits of that kingdom here, you must accept that you can do nothing. And you do that by accepting that God, who is present, is doing all things. Whatever the veil is that prevents me from seeing Him does not stop the truth that they are being done. And that is your daily Gethsemane. Each day you are faced with appearances that tell you God is not present and doing, and each day you accept God is present and doing in spite of what I see, in spite of what people say, in spite of what my five senses report, because these five senses are the five senses of the serpent. They die with the rest of the form. They are not of God. God did not create human vision, human hearing, the human sense of touch. That's part of the price you pay. What God creates is divine, eternal. And it is here, and it is perfect, and your divine, perfect vision is here. Your divine perfect hearing is here, and it will reveal to you in a revelation. It will reveal to you in a vision. It will reveal to you a life that is undying, that you live in, if you pay the price. God is present, and this is your religion. John had seen the breaking of the veil through Christ within his own consciousness. He had seen that you can walk here in the kingdom of God, and if you do not, life eternal for you is somewhat delayed. Now, this breaking of the world mind is the end of forbidden fruit. Once the world mind in you has no power to convince you that God is absent, you're supping at the table of Christ. And lo and behold, the miracle worker within you, the one who raised Lazarus, works within you and raises you out of the tomb of mortality. The old self does not remain in control. The new self comes forth and walks this earth. The uncrucifiable you walks the earth. And when the moment of transition comes, there is no transition to make. You've already made it. You have already attained the first resurrection. You simply pass over. Now then, our function, in order to make the Word flesh, to be instruments of God, is to know that within us is a precious gift called the will of God. Its will is that we be perfect, and therefore we are. Its will is that we walk in the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Its will is that we express the qualities of God, so they must be present to be expressed. It is God's will that you be perfect as your Father. And therefore you can be. Indeed, that is a command. Unless you're willing to let perfection express itself, you are violating the will of God, and you are walking out of the divine will. If you will not walk out of the divine will, it being the will of the Father that you be perfect, you will discover that your effort, your fidelity to walk only in the will of God, to seek the will, to turn within and say, what is thy will? To listen for the will, to be obedient to the will, to be obedient to no other will, whether it's your own human will or another individual's. This is your fidelity. And then, in that fidelity, the Father who seeth in secret will reward thee openly. That reward is the life of God in you expressing its perfection. I don't know anyone in the world who can deny those words. They are the words of God and they are true. Our problem is to have the vision and the courage and the determination and the love to want to walk in those words, to let them function us. And being here together is a great aid in that direction. Because we learn that there are those on this earth who have accepted the words of the Father as living words, the presence of the Father as a living presence, and are willing to walk that extra mile, to turn that other cheek, to do everything necessary to be a living instrument for a living God. Even at the peril of your human life. Because there is no peril to it. How to live in the will of God becomes a focal point then of the Christ teaching at this moment in this class. How to live in the will of God. How to recognize when we're stepping out of the will of God. We'll close with a silence. We learn that we can trust the fact that God never makes mistakes, and therefore the mistakes that appear are not happening because God is the only doer, the only creator, the only power. We have learned in a measure that God is here and conscious. I'd like you to surrender to the consciousness of God in your meditation. Yield to it. That's how you accept its presence. Yield to it. I don't know who, but someone who described our living in divine will as a child at its mother's breast. That is how we yield to the divine will. We become absorbed into the consciousness of the Father, accepting one consciousness. We rest there in total trust that the Father knoweth, the Father doeth, the Father is ever present and eternal, and I am the living child of the living Father. We are united in one. This becomes more important to you than anything else in the universe. time, you find yourself not as strong, not as trusting, somewhat fearful, doubtful, wondering, frustrated, dismayed, off-center, go back, become aware of the living consciousness of God always present and surrender to it. And then, like a child, trust it. Just trust it to be the all power. Don't tell it what you want. Just be there in trust. This is how we come to our real center. Until one day we find we're there. We don't have to go out and come back, go out and come back. We're there. I and the Father are one. Oneness is realized. And the serpent has no place in your house. I think we'll pause now. We're going to have about a half hour or so or more for lunch, so I can tell the chef 12 or 12:30, and I think we'll leave it at 12:30 so you might relax a little in the sun or whatever. And about a quarter after 12:30, we'll have lunch probably out in the open. And then we'll resume at 2 o'clock.